guys, welcome to another episode of the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of your favorite Falcons fan site, The Falcoholic. I am DW, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, the June, Petter of Dogs, first of her name, the Daenerys Targaryen, the Falcons Twitter, she who will not be bossed, Gina Matt Online Thomas. Gina, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, David. How are you?
I'm great. I have not done that in a while. I have missed...
We have been on a hiatus for a minute, and every time I, you know, when it's been a while and I hear all those nicknames, it always makes me chuckle. So that is that is a really, really fun reminder that I have a lot of really stupid nicknames.
Some we've had to delete, and some that we can't say in public.
Because there were too many. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too.
Joining us for a special post-combine episode of the Falcoholic Podcast are two of our excellent writers who have helped on the site in recent weeks with the combine and breaking down their thoughts on what the Falcons might do in the draft, which we're going to talk about today. First is Eric Robinson. Eric, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I was wondering if you were actually going to introduce me or just going to say that other guy that's on here.
That's a fair criticism in this case.
Now, let's be clear, Eric. You've been with us for a while. I certainly have a tremendous amount of respect for the work you do for us. Eric is a frequent contributor. Some would even call him the co-host of Falcoholic Live with Kevin Knight. Does a fantastic job with that. So
there's a butt coming here. I feel it. There's a butt coming here.
There's none. Eric, you're a fantastic contributor. You're a very respected member of the site. So thank you for being here, Eric.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Our next guest is one of our newer writers, but he has made a splash since joining us, I guess, a couple months ago. And Carter, help me with your last name. Carter Brazil?
Oh, it's Brazil, man. Like the country.
Brazil. Sweet!
Yeah. It looks like it's from outer space, but it sounds like it's just the country Brazil.
Excellent. Carter Brazil.
You can just call him Cardi B.
Cardi B.
Cards, whatever you want to call it.
I like it.
That guy. Yeah. So, Carter, how are you doing, man?
Doing well, David. I've listened to a few of the podcasts, and I always admire the yeoman's job you do of the litany of Gina's intro titles. So, there's never any stutter.
He also does a very fine job of reining my silly ass in when it needs to be reined in. So, let's give credit where credit is due. David is a very good host of the Falcoholic Podcast.
Before the podcast, I feel like there might be a little bit of reining in. So, we'll see where it goes.
Nice. All right. So, let's just jump into it. First thing I want to talk about is some of the news that hit a little bit earlier today. So we're recording this on Wednesday, March 7th. And obviously, I think maybe no more than a couple hours ago, we found out that all of the trade rumors of Michael Bennett being traded to the Atlanta Falcons came true. Michael Bennett is an Atlanta Falcon.
Don't do it.
Oh, man. Lots of people are going to be mad online about this because heaven forbid somebody care about standing up for racial equality. Uh-oh. You know. Yeah, I mean, Michael Bennett's a very good player. I'm disappointed that he has landed with arguably the best team in the NFL and the team
Falcons.
That just won the Super Bowl. Yes, there you go. Wow, alternate universe stuff happening right here.
I'm refusing to acknowledge the universe we live in, Gina. That's my new stance.
Buddy, as we have discussed on our other podcast, not sticking to sports, I think that's a valid coping mechanism these days. So I'm with it. I'm on board with it.
So reining myself back in, obviously.
None of it.
Whoops. The Eagles did sweep in and sign the veteran defensive lineman, I guess. He actually could play both outside and inside. It was a little bit disappointing for some Falcons fans, But for our purposes, I want to just touch on it in the respect of how this may impact what the Falcons do in the draft. So, Gina, I'll start with you first. You know, there are a lot of people saying that if we could land someone like Bennett, the Falcons may change their priorities in the first round. Do you think missing out on him is going to change what the Falcons do at the end of the first round?
It may. I kind of think it's more likely, especially with the move that they made today to free up a little bit of cap space with restructuring LaVitre, which was necessary. That was a good move. We could maybe even see them hold on to Adrian Claiborne, which is not something that anybody expected them to do. Mm-hmm. But I do think that with Bennett off the table, I think that that's maybe a possibility too. This is a guy that Dan Quinn loves, Adrian Claiborne. Claiborne loves this team. He obviously played very well for them. So I think maybe it's wishful thinking for me because Claiborne and I are friends and I would hate to see him leave. But I would kind of like to see them go in that direction, especially with so many other needs that could be filled in this draft.
Right. Carter, what are your thoughts? Missing out on Bennett, does it change draft priorities in your mind?
I honestly think that, I mean, I think we're going to touch on the combine a little bit later, but it almost looked like Atlanta was positioning themselves with, you know, heading into the offseason and into next season as Michael Bennett as a key cog on their defensive line. You know, Derek Shelby getting cut. Gina just said Adrian Claiborne. There's rumors now that he's not going to be with the team. So I kind of feel like they thought that they had this in their lap and it slipped through. So regarding the draft at Atlanta at 26, I'm not quite sure, you know, where they go. Like, do they trade back? Do they trade up? The top two, you know, Vita Vea, Daron Payne probably won't be there when Atlanta's looking to pick. So I think it's basically thrown things kind of into a weird mix because I get the feeling they were betting on Bennett being on the squad this year.
Hmm. Eric, what are your thoughts?
I think it changes the draft strategy more so in the mid rounds than the first round. I think that there was a distinct possibility that bringing in Bennett would have gave him some flexibility because, of course, he's a defensive end, defensive tackle hybrid in this scheme. So I think it would have kind of crossed that off their list going into the draft because you would already have a guy in place to fit that type of mold, a guy that pretty much, for the most part, if they were going to bring Bennett in, it would definitely solidify the move of letting Claiborne walk, and he would have, you know, pretty much filled the shoes of Claiborne. So I think that changes the strategy now. I think now without Bennett in the picture and with the team possibly still thinking about letting Claiborne walk, I think it elevates the need or it elevates the desire at least for the team to go and get a hybrid defensive end, defensive tackle, either in the draft or in free agency. I think it's more likely that they would target that in the draft than free agency. I think in the first round they still would probably stick to the board of, as far as getting a defensive tackle or a guard. But I think the mid round is where a move like this probably elevates a certain position now.
Yeah. When I heard the news, I was a little bit disappointed. I thought it almost seemed like a foregone conclusion that we would land Bennett. And it kind of surprising to see that. I mean, yeah, it makes the Eagles scarier.
Yeah. I mean, did they really need Michael Bennett?
No.
They did not.
You're now talking about the scariest defensive front in the entire NFL.
Easily. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Michael Bennett. Good God.
Yeah.
I'd much rather not play them until the playoffs. But now the Falcons have to play them in a regular season, possibly opening up the season.
On the road.
Yeah. Yeah. As they didn't need them. But, I mean, it was like DW said, it was almost a foregone conclusion that we I pretty much I think we all agree here. We all pretty much felt that Bennett was heading to Atlanta. And even I, the past couple of days, was thinking of the draft strategy with Bennett in a Falcons uniform.
For sure. And that's kind of where I'm going. Like,
it would have opened up the door to them getting a tight end early, maybe, or maybe even going receiver a little bit earlier than normal. But, I mean, now it's back to the drawing board almost.
Yeah, I mean, I get the vibe that they felt like the rug was kind of taken out from under them, because it almost looked like they were lining up their entire offseason strategy on having Michael Bennett on the defensive line, and he's not going to be there now. So where they're at in draft positioning and, you know, who's out there in free agency, I think it kind of throws things into a state of flux. So they've got to get creative, basically.
It makes it even more weird a little bit what the Eagles gave up to get him. I mean, geez.
Which was not a lot, considering.
They got him for a bag of Doritos, basically. That's what they got.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, Doritos are very good. I just want to be clear. But still.
I mean, it makes you wonder a little bit what was the offer from the Falcons. If that's all it took for the Eagles to get him, what was the offer from the Falcons?
Well, we definitely know it wasn't
a... Yeah, that part really legitimately irritated me.
Yeah. So, Gina, you mentioned it, and it feels like the Falcons maybe also felt like they were going to land Bennett. Do you think now that they really need to turn around and try to close things up with bringing Claiborne back?
I mean, I think that they have to do something, because if you look at, and I you know, we've just gone through all the issues. Position. You know, I think that they kind of did put their eggs in that basket. Now it's not happening. So yeah, I mean, they've got to figure out something, because losing Claiborne, missing out on Bennett, you know, parting ways with Shelby, you've put yourself in a shitty position at that position, which is kind of important. And so yeah, they're going to have to do something, whether that is, you know, changing the draft strategy to address it early to get a real impact player early in the draft, or figuring out something else in free agency, which, you know, there are still some other guys available, but nobody of Bennett's caliber. And Bennett would have been, because of his age, he would have been inexpensive. I think that he would have loved to reunite with Quinn. And so it just all seemed like that seemed like a perfect storm of reasons for him to land in Atlanta. Anyway, you know, we'll see what they do. I do genuinely believe that Quinn is, I mean, he is such a great defensive mind. I'm sure that he has a plan. I guarantee that Quinn at least didn't bank everything on being able to get Bennett. I'm sure that there is a plan B, plan C, et cetera, but like, it's disappointing. It really is. And so I would personally like to see them re-sign Claiborne. I feel like he really had an impact last year. But I don't, you know, whatever. They have to address it somehow.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, everyone points to the Dallas game and said, oh, well, he got, you know, most of his sacks in that game. But I think that ignores the fact that he was consistently one of our better pass rushers, even if the sack totals weren't consistently there.
I don't want to sound like one of these, you know, assholes on Twitter who watches some YouTube highlights or whatever, but watch the tape, like actually watch the tape. It, and I'm not going to be Mike Smith and say sacks don't matter, because sacks do matter, but it does matter if you're disrupting the quarterback, getting him off his spot consistently and not getting sacks.
Yeah,
that does matter. If you're disrupting him and getting him off the spot, that matters. And Claiborne did that, and he did that very consistently. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that Dan Quinn has done really well since he came to Atlanta is created a situation where guys are really creating pressure. And I think that that's been one of the biggest improvements on that side of the ball. And so I think that whoever they get in here, you know, however they decide to address this weakness, whether it's bringing Clay back, whether it's drafting somebody, whether it's, you know, looking to free agency for somebody else, like whatever they do, I do feel like it will be okay, because I think that Dan knows what he's doing, genuinely.
All right. I guess I'll play the Skip Bayless role here.
Uh-oh.
Do it. Go for it.
Getting
I'm
back.
Not quite sure the team needs to bring him back. I'm one of those that feel that while Claiborne had a career year in sacks, let's be honest, most of his year was in that Dallas game.
It was.
And if you look at the tape, he was getting pressure, granted. But this is for what he's probably expecting to get paid from here on out, which is probably roughly nine million a year. For a guy that just had a career year in sacks with only 9.5, and he had that career year, so at this point in his career, this is what, year 7, 8, 9, maybe something like that?
Not to mention
that he's somewhat limited with where he can line up and rush the passer. I think also, if you account for the fact that he only had 2 starts last year, played in all 16 games, he only had 2 starts. I think that's a lot of money for a guy with such a limited role and not a whole lot of production backing him. Now, I wouldn't mind bringing him back if it was for a reasonable price, but for $9 million, he's going to get paid
off that Dallas game for sure.
I almost yelled, skip, skip. But I do think that, and like, I don't want to, I actually I have not talked to Claiborne about this, so I want to be clear about that. Because I've been very careful. Like, I don't want to talk to him about free agency because I don't want him to feel like I'm pressuring him or anything. So I don't know what he wants to do. But I do think that he would be willing to be flexible if he could stay in Atlanta.
So this is your...
He loves it here.
Yeah, so this is your hometown discount, non-hometown discount declaration, basically?
Right, so I mean,
All right.
I agree with you. I agree with you about his pay. I do agree with you about, like, everything that you said, I don't disagree with. Skip.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I mean, we can't.
Even though. Skip.
You need to quit it, Skip.
Come on, Skip.
I wish I could do a good Shannon Sharp impression because I would do it right now.
Oh, damn, Skip. Yeah, that was Skip? Terrible. So I think that's a very good point. I mean, we can't afford to overpay because honestly, you know, the guy that we drafted last year ultimately is going to be our primary pass rusher opposite of Beasley. And, you know, we're really looking for a guy that's intended to be depth. And if there's a team out there willing to pay Claiborne $9 million per season, then I don't think we can compete in that. You know, he's just not going to be a starter for us.
Yeah. Nor should we.
Right, yeah. And so I do agree. That's a very good point. I want to move on. You know, we know the Bennett deal didn't go through. We know that's going to potentially impact the draft. But another deal happened or was announced today that I think could also impact the draft. So that, it's actually a lot that's happened just in the past 6 to 8 hours that could potentially impact what the Falcons are looking to do in the first round. And that was the Falcons announced that they restructured their deal with Andy Levitre, the starting left guard from the past few seasons. Andy is going to be 32 when the season starts. So obviously he is on the backside of his career, but he was a good starter when he was healthy. Obviously he ended the year with a triceps injury that kept him out for the last few games. If they restructured the deal, that has to mean they added some years to it because he was in the last year of his contract. There's no way to restructure a deal when you're in the last year of your deal without adding additional years. So more than likely, Andy got an additional year or two to his contract. We'll know the details as they come out. But it looks like at least for 2018, the intention is that he will be back as starter at left guard, which I'm completely fine with.
Yeah.
A lot of people were talking about, you know, drafting a offensive guard in the first round as well. It seems like if you were to split Falcons Twitter down the middle, you would have had half of them clamoring for a defensive tackle a la Michael Bennett and half of them clamoring for an offensive guard a la Andy Levitre. So again, back to sort of the same question. Does the Levitre, I'm going to go ahead and call it an extension because I think that's what it truly is. Does the Levitre extension potentially change what the Falcons look to do with their first round pick. So, Carter, I'll start with you on this question. What do you think? Does the Levitre deal impact the first round with what the Falcons may consider?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. Going into, after the season ended, a lot of people thought that, Levitre was pretty much a done deal, that he was gone. And, there's obvious questions at the guard spot, Schweitzer, Harlow. And there were just questions as to whether Atlanta would even bother paying him, whether they could afford him. So being able to restructure his deal, I think, kind of speaks volumes as to the direction they're heading into the draft, into free agency. I mean, you're obviously not going to see him, an Andrew Norwell. But at 26, Isaiah Wynn was a, was somebody that, Falcons fans were, the half the Falcons fans that you were talking about were clamoring for if he was there. I think when you, with today's news of the restructure of his contract, you can pretty much key in on defensive tackle in the first round.
All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Gina, what are your thoughts?
Actually, I was distracted because Baxter was actually eating my remote, and I had to get up and handle that. So I have no idea what we're even talking about. To be honest, Baxter's I'm sorry. Why don't you go to Eric? Eric, what do you think about whatever we're talking about right now? look at that smooth transition from your girl, like, not bad.
Eric, this with your hot takes, man. Save me.
I don't think this changes anything as far as their draft strategy in terms of guard in the first round. I think that they can still go guard in the first round. And I always felt that if they were even to draft a guard in this year, it was more so for the right guard position and not the left guard position. I think what this move does, it pretty much puts a hamper on any noise about the Falcons going to sign a guard at free agency. I think you can pretty much say that's probably not going to happen. More than likely, it's not going to happen now. Levitre's back. He's probably going to be back for the next 2 years, maybe three, depending on how the contract shakes out. But I think they can still go guard in the first round. And I felt this way for the past couple of months, and I still feel this way now, and I'll probably still feel this way come draft day. If the Falcons go guard, where they go guard at in the draft is going to tell us how much confidence they really have in Schweitzer. If they get a guy like Isaiah Wynn, I think you can pretty much tell Schweitzer, yeah, that job is not yours, buddy. If they're looking for Isaiah Wynn to be the next guard, the next starter at right guard going into the season. If they go guard maybe in the mid-round, third, fourth, maybe even later than that, I think what that says is that the team is probably pretty much going to have another open competition in training camp this year. So I think they're still going to go guard regardless in the draft. I think it just depends on where they go. It's pretty much going to tell us how they feel about Schweitzer and what their plans are for training camp and preseason.
Yeah, and I think they'll definitely take a guard at some point in the draft. But considering Levitre's, restructured contract, and what happened today with Michael Bennett, I think it's basically been pushed back until at least day two, late day two.
This creates the cap space for them though, to possibly go after a guy like Mo Wilkerson or Sheldon Richardson, to solidify that defensive end spot. So,
and I am on board with both those guys, by the way.
Absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah. Those are good ideas.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If you can get Mo Wilkerson on like a one-year, prove it type contract.
The thing is, Mo Wilkerson was such a jackass with the Jets that I think that you can get him on a one-year prove it type deal that's pretty inexpensive. And his talent, the talent is there. And if he would come into Atlanta, the culture here is a really good fit for him, I think. And I think that he would really flourish. So I'm on board.
I guarantee you, even renting Mo Wilkerson for a year, fans will forget about what happened with Michael Bennett today. I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
They will forget about what happened with Bennett.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Yep.
I love that idea. I totally agree.
Yeah. I think definitely on the 1 year deal. And anyone who, you know, wants to point out the 2 years he had with the Jets where people say he gave up on the team. I mean, it's the Jets, man. It's the Jets.
Their entire fan.
The Jets were a hot ass mess, and it wasn't just him. I mean, right. I think that they honestly, now I'm going to get like very businessy about this, but I think that their culture was really lacking. I think that they didn't have a lot of buy-in or investment. And I think that you saw it kind of across the board. So I don't think that it was just him. That is not a thing that this, not just Dan Quinn, but like the players tolerate in Atlanta. And so I really think that it would be a good situation for someone who had that kind of negative experience somewhere else to come in and feel supported and feel like they're part of the team. And I think that somebody like Mo would really flourish here, genuinely. I really do.
Also, keep in mind, that wasn't the coaching staff that drafted Mo Wilkerson.
Right.
So, I mean, that played a part
as well. Yeah. So he didn't vibe with the coaching staff. They were losing. I can see why a veteran would say, you know what, I want out. I mean, that happens in the league.
Yeah.
Well, and listen, like, we all have bad days at work. It's just that if Mo Wilkerson has a bad day at work and he gets frustrated, then people write about it and everybody hears about it. And so that's the other thing. Like, I don't think that it's that unusual if somebody isn't happy with, you know, a specific situation at work and they're a little bit disgruntled one day. It doesn't mean that he is a guy who can't be a great teammate and a good part of a team. Like, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that maybe he wasn't in the right situation. Maybe he just had a bad day. I'm very on board with the idea of bringing him in on a 1 year deal.
Yeah. And I would say for fans, it would be critical of it. I think at this point, we know that Dan Quinn has a very specific vision for what he wants on the team, what he wants in the locker room. If Dan Quinn gives the go-ahead for Mo Wilkerson to be on the team, that really should be enough for most fans to say, okay, if Dan signs off on it, then I'm willing to give it a try. I think Quinn has at least earned that amount of respect from the fans, given what he's done here in 3 very short years. And I know a lot of fans have been like, I don't want someone who's quit on their team. And I get it. But again, if Quinn signs off on it and he's like, sure, let's have him on for a 1 year deal, then it should be end of conversation. And then let's wait to see what he does in September.
Dan,
I want to give you guys a little anecdote about Mo Wilkerson. Okay. This guy missed his own birthday party with the Jets. Like, he missed his own birthday party. How shitty do things have to be at work for you to actually miss your own birthday party where they got you a cake? Like, that to me is probably not, like, I would probably show up at work, even if it's shitty, if there's cake, unless it's so shitty that I just really can't do it. If you're missing cake.
What kind of cake?
On your birthday. I feel like that's maybe on them and not on you. Like, I don't know. It just seems to me, I wrote about this in 2016. This was the 2016 season.
There's red velvet on there.
I vaguely remembered it. Then I Googled it. So
ice cream cake for the
anyway,
win.
Anyway, I think that it's cake? Probably on many sides, there were issues with the Jets.
So what are
we talking? We're talking ice cream cake. Oh yeah, I would have been pissed too.
I don't know. I do not have the specifics of the cake. My sources did not share
critical,
that information.
Gina. That is critical, Gina.
Well, sure. I have to say though, this was almost 2 years ago. I don't know that I can go back and get this info.
Can you get us the recipe?
Probably.
Charles McDonald is now the airport recipe guy for Andy.
That was so amazing. Also, I'm totally making Andy Reid's macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
if it's ice cream cake,
Andy Reid looks like a guy who knows his way around some goddamn macaroni and cheese. So
I can see why he's been disgruntled for 2 years. Like, that's, come on, we're talking ice cream cake, man. Like, that you don't get that off.
Yeah.
I would have been pissed too.
Yeah, and this is going sideways.
And here's the other thing. I do feel like mostly Falcons fans are okay with the idea of bringing in Sheldon Richardson, as far as what I've seen. But you know, when Mo Wilkerson got benched for missing his birthday party, that was when Richardson also got benched by the Jets. And so he had kind of the same issues. Then he went to Seattle and he was fine and a different culture with a different head coach. And so I think that it's very fair to raise the question of, don't you think that maybe a change of scenery would also benefit Wilkerson?
Wait, so you're telling
I felt the change of scenery would have been good for Bennett as well. I mean, a lot of people want to point out his on field antics, and I get it. You know, it's noticeable for him, you know, with the offsides, with the cheap shots and things like that. But I think that was just a situation as we see now, because what we're seeing now is the defense being blown up. So what I look at that as, that's been years of frustration with the organization, in my opinion, where Bennett has probably been saying for the past two seasons, I want out. Mm-hmm. That's what I look at it as. And I feel a change of scenery would have been great for him to Atlanta. Same thing with Sheldon Richardson. I think Sheldon Richardson and Wilkerson, both of them would be natural fits in this scheme. They would be great base defensive ends, kick inside on third down and rush the passer. I think both would be great additions, even if it's on a one-year rental deal like we did with Poe. Both will fit this scheme like a glove. So 100%. I think what happened today kind of ups the ante a little bit to the front office to say, hey, you know what? Let's kind of press and see if we can get one of these guys in.
And that's why I think that might be where they're headed, because this is kind of thrown I feel like it's thrown them for a loop. And if they can get a guy as a stopgap, whether it's a Mo Wilkerson or a Sheldon Richardson, for one or two years, kind of in the Poe vein, it might allow them to draft a defensive tackle later in the draft, you know, third or fourth round, and develop them up and not expect them to come in and just be a world beater from day one. So, I'm right there with you on that.
So, you know, along those lines, it seems like, and I just want to run through this with each person here, but we've already touched on a couple of the positions, but I want to get a feel from each of you of what you think the top needs are from a positional standpoint, you know, from first, second, third. So Eric, I'll start with you. You know, looking at the current roster, all things being equal, what are your top three or four positions that the Falcons need to address, either in free agency and or the draft?
Defensive tackle, guard, and wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Okay. Excellent. Any others that you think maybe are a wild card that you would throw in the top five up there?
Tight end. I think tight end with the release of Levine Toilolo, you can pretty much put the writing on the wall that the team is going to address that at some point this offseason. I think they probably will have a plan in place to go into the season with Hooper, a developed Saubert, and another addition. I think one guy that they may have their eye on is Trey Burton out of Philly this offseason.
Yes. Yes.
I think he may
bring him in. Honestly, if we need somebody to replace Matt Ryan since he's a bust, I mean, this guy's thrown a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, sure. So let's fucking do it. Sure. I mean, this seems totally reasonable.
There it is.
I am on the
track. There you go. Cut Matt Schaub, bring him in as the backup quarterback. We're golden. Everything is fine.
We already got Sanu. So what do we? I mean, we can cut Schaub and save a ton of money.
So then we have two. All pro caliber backup quarterbacks.
That's training camp without a quarterback controversy, man.
Bring back Matt Sims.
Matt Sims.
Oh boy.
Sims.
At least so I can post gifts of his dad. That are ridiculous. That's the only thing that I miss. Matt Sims is very nice, but I do miss posting Phil Sims. GIFs or GIFs, however you want to say it. I don't care. This is a free country. You can do what you want. But, like, I do miss that about having Matt Sims on the roster.
So, Gina, segueing from your conversation about Phil Sims, what do you think are the top positional needs for the Falcons?
So I'm not trying to be a copycat, but yeah, defensive tackle, guard, wide receiver, tight end would be, you know, 3A, especially after letting Levine go. You know, Taylor Gabriel is not going to be back, and Taylor did not play up to his 2016 performance last year. I don't think that Sark knows how to use him. It would make me happy to see Taylor land in San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan. Don't be mad at me, but Kyle knows how to use him, and I like Taylor, so I want him to succeed. So yeah, I think that wide receiver is a real need. I don't think it's as pressing as defensive tackle or guard. You know, even though they extended LaVitre, I think that there are questions with Schweitzer at, you know, as far as long-term on that other side. I think they have to figure out the long-term solution there. And then, I am concerned about receiver depth. Like, you legitimately have Julio and Sanu, and then, like, I mean, Justin Hardy's okay. Who else they have? That one guy who returned some kicks or whatever.
Robbins is a free agent, and
that's problematic. Actually, it's not that problematic. He was not that good. Justin Hardy, I feel like they've got to give Matt Ryan another viable receiver there, especially since the tight end position hasn't been that reliable
in terms of
blocking or catching, and so they do need to address that too. So. Bring in Martellus Bennett. Honestly, he got cut by the Patriots today. If we can't have Michael, bring in Marty B.
All right. Carter, your thoughts on the positional needs for the Falcons.
David's just like, I'm done with you.
I'm trying to herd these cats, folks.
David's hanging on by a thread right now. I can feel it.
I'm much more of a hot ass mess than I usually am on this podcast. So David's a champion. Actually.
So are we talking on needs in the draft or needs in general?
Needs in general. Needs in general. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, probably both.
Then I'm going to slightly echo the previous two takes on it. And defensive tackle, 100%. It's something that has to be addressed, whether it's in free agency, whether it's in the draft. I'm not sure you can adequately do it at 26, especially considering, you know, Maurice Hurst, heart condition that he found out about. It kind of throws the defensive tackle, rankings up in the air as to who goes where. So I'm not sure you can rely on it in the draft. Defensive tackle, tight end, and guard are mine. Reverse that order because the highlights are hitting me.
So
guard for sure. I think tight end, and like Eric said, Trey Burton to me is so, just bring him to the team. The ability for that guy to line up in line or like kind of fulfill an H-back role makes so much sense for the Falcons. Mm-hmm. It'll add some creativity to the scheme. Which is Steve Sarkisian obviously has lacked in that department, as we've seen. But tight ends, defensive tackle and guard are my three.
Okay. Obviously, I mean, it's hard to disagree with defensive tackle, offensive guard. You know, even with LaVitre back, he is 32. I think the Falcons have to start thinking about the future beyond him. I'm still not 100% sold on Schweitzer. And in particular, the Falcons are going to be facing a lot of really good defensive tackles over the next few seasons. You know, you look within our own division, you've got Gerald McCoy. You've got, Kawan Short. Who's the kid in New Orleans? Hankins, not Hankins.
Rankin.
Rankin, thank you. Yeah.
Rankin.
Yeah, and the NFC in general is loaded with defensive tackle talent. So I think it is important that we shore up the middle of the offensive line, especially with a quarterback like Matt Ryan. The one position I was surprised I didn't hear any of you mention that I think they're going to have to address again, unfortunately, is running back. Last year they did draft Brian Hill, and somehow they managed to completely screw up the handling of him.
He ended up getting
picked up off of the practice squad by I think the Bengals. And I know Dimitrov said that he sees a situation where they can keep Tevin Coleman. I don't see how that's going to happen, and I think they're going to have another running back.
That's not going to happen.
them to throw shovel passes to Ward. All I mean, right. I feel very successful. And so why do you running back?
No, I mean, I think running back is a position they need to at least consider in the draft. I really like Nyheim Hines out of NC State as a potential kind of.
I really like Ito Smith. I think that there are some late round guys who have a lot of value, and so I think that they can easily nail that position late in the draft with one of these.
Yeah, there's no way they're re-signing Tevin Coleman to any kind of long-term contract. He wants to be a starting running back, and he's not going to get that opportunity in Atlanta unless something, you know, God forbid, catastrophic happens to Devontae Freeman. It's not going to happen. So if you can get paid like a starting running back and get the playing time of a starting running back, why wouldn't you go somewhere else? So
I will gladly put on my Skip Bayless hat again.
Oh, here we go. Boy, here we go.
Don't do it, Skip.
Here's one thing that Thomas Dimitroff has done an excellent job the past few seasons with keeping his guys in-house. Now, let's be honest. We all thought that there was no way that they were going to be able to re-sign Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford. He got it done. We all thought there was no way that they were going to be able to re-sign Jake Matthews and Ryan Schrader. He got it done. If he can sit here and say, hey, I can give Devontae a contract extension prior to last season, and I can bring back Tevin Coleman, well, damn it, Dimitroff, I believe in you, and I think you can do it. Because he's done it before.
But does Tevin Coleman want to do it?
That's where it may come down to. I think at this point, Tevin Coleman probably would want to because Robert Alford easily could have walked away and got more money.
Sure.
Same with Ryan Schrader. But they all re-signed at a reasonable price because they loved what they had here in Atlanta. So how can we sit here and say it's not going to happen at all? If Dimitroff says this could happen, if Tevin's saying all the right things, hey, I love it here in Atlanta. I love this locker room. I love the team that we built. I can't sit here and say it's not going to happen. He's done it twice already at two key positions where he's locked up both tackle spots and both cornerback spots. So I can't sit here and say he's not going to lock up both running backs long term. Wow. I think he can.
All right.
I'd love to see it happen. I'm not against it.
Yeah, same.
I don't know. I just feel like Tevin would definitely want to, you know, be the dude who gets, you know, 20, 25, you know, carries a game. And it's not going to happen in Atlanta as long as Devontae Freeman's there. So I guess we'll see. I'll be cautiously optimistic about it. But I think running back is, definitely a position they should explore in the draft. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, a few late round additions, especially considering, DW, the way they completely bungled Brian Hill.
Oh, so sad.
It makes sense.
We got to give credit where credit is due with Dimitroff. He's done a hell of a job with contracts the past few seasons. I mean, he somehow convinced Alex Mack to come in on a reasonable deal that didn't hurt the team. You know, he just restructured Levitre's contract, where some people felt that he might have been walking away. You know, he pulled out the Devontae contract out of the abyss because we all felt that it was heading towards a direction where Devontae probably was going to be leaving the team. And surprisingly, overnight, he got it done. So, I mean, hey, I got to give Dimitroff the credit where it's due. And I think he can do it. If he says he can do it, I think he can do it.
Well, and, you know, a couple things to keep in mind, and I think, you know, to that point, we're still probably looking at a Matt Ryan extension, and even though it's going to average arguably $30 million a year, it will probably free up cap space this year, because I think Ryan's cap hit is around $23, $24 million this year, and that can arguably be dropped down into the 16 to 18 range, depending on the structure of the deal. Likewise, we're probably going to try to get Jake Matthews signed to a long-term extension, which could potentially free up some space in this year.
Brady as well.
Yeah,
then yeah, Grady, got to get Grady signed since this is the last year of his deal. And I think, you know, if everything is done right, there is a situation where Coleman could be kept. And, you know, to Carter's point, he has to want to stay. But, Eric, you bring up a good point. You know, we've written off a few guys that have ended up being guys that got extensions that we weren't expecting. So I guess we'll see how that plays out. And obviously, you know, that's going to be a very interesting question going into this season because I love what Tevin Coleman brings to the team. I love having those two guys in the backfield. But it's sort of been, again, another foregone conclusion that he's gone. Maybe it's not. Maybe Dimitrov figures this one out. So I want to close off the podcast. One last question for everybody. And I think that, you know, given what we've seen in this draft class, given what we know is, you know, potentially out there in free agency and the needs of the team, when we get to April, and this question is going to be for everybody. I'll start with Gina. What is the one position, you know, positional group, you know, whether it's wide receiver, tight end, offensive guard, et cetera. What is the one positional group that you think the Falcons could surprise fans by drafting in the first couple of rounds? So, ooh. Gina, we'll start with you.
That's a tough question. In the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, so I'm going to say either round one or round two. So really, you know, the two premium rounds, if you will, of the NFL draft.
And they would surprise fans.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's thinking offensive guard, defensive tackle, and or tight end. So let's take those three off the board. What other position do you think the Falcons may draft in the first or second round that fans would be like, what?
I would say there are – and there are wide receivers. But yeah, that's tough. That's tough. I don't think that they'll do it. And so that makes it harder. Draft. Fill me. Could go with wide receiver running back.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't think that we'll go with in the first couple of offensive tackle guard. They've shown commitment. We've seen the benefits of that in terms of, you know, John Jones, Keanu Neal, Tack, who I think will take a step forward. Vic, the way that he's there's a commitment there to building through the draft. I don't think huge is them going to some wild ass position that we.
Yep. Okay. Eric, what are your thoughts?
Wide receiver. No question. I think some people undervalue the wide receiver three spot on this offense. And granted, Sark didn't really show a whole lot of confidence in utilizing a wide receiver three such as Taylor Gabriel. But I think we saw in 2016 with Shanahan what a dependable wide receiver three can really do for this offense. And you know, having a deep threat like Taylor Gabriel or just anybody at that wide receiver three spot can open up so much for this offense. Granted, they probably can skate by with Julio and Sanu, but I think having a guy, a legit threat at that third receiver spot is critical. So I would say wide receiver. I think if hypothetically speaking, let's say there's a Christian Kirk who's still sitting there late in the second round when the Falcons come back around, I won't dismiss it. I can't sit here and say they're going to.
Wow. Excellent.
Carter,
what do you think? What's your pick?
I would have to go with cornerback, even though it seems like not quarterback.
Although, cornerback.
Matt Ryan is a bust, so, I mean, he needs to go.
Yes, he is.
That'll free up cap space. But no, cornerback in the first two rounds would be a weird, you know, kind of thing. But I can't rule it out happening. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Brian Poole, nickel corner, where DeMonte KZ fits in. And Dan Quinn likes his corners, man. So even though you've got Alford and Trufant locked up, they're still in the mix for a nickel corner. Can't say I could see it happening, you know, that early in the draft, but you're asking for, you know, kind of crazy takes. So can't see it happening, but also wouldn't be completely shocked if it did.
Yep. Yeah, as for me, I'm sort of with Eric. I think wide receiver would be maybe the least predicted, but the other thing I'm thinking about, Eric, is the fact that both Julio and Sanu will be creeping up on 30 very, very soon. And yep. Both are physical receivers. You know, Julio has past couple of years, he's been struggling with staying healthy for an entire season. And I just think about Calvin Johnson and how, you know, the tail end of his career, he spent more and more time on the sidelines. And I think, you know, the Falcons, you know, if they're going to have an outlook past just the next year, it takes a wide receiver 2 to 3 years to get acclimated to the NFL. And in 2 to 3 years, Julio and Sanu are both potentially going to be at the point where they're going to be done. Either.
Don't say that to me. Don't say that to me, David.
But it makes sense.
This is unacceptable. No.
No. Some people are actually putting a whole lot of conviction in Justin Hardy being ready for the wide receiver three role. He's been with this team for four years.
We would have seen that by now.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I haven't seen anything that says, okay, he's ready. I mean, he's been the same steady Justin Hardy for 4 years. So, I mean,
he's going to be. And the player he's going to be is fine. He's not number three discussion. Right. You know, I mean, that's it.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
That is his ceiling, and we've.
I think Gina evaporated.
Yeah. I was wondering if it was just me. Gina just sort of disappeared.
Sorry, I'm also like my.
Oh God, the FBI got her.
I have a lot of stuff going on. a lot of very important clearly.
All right, so with that, we're gonna wrap up this episode of the Falcoholic Podcast. So real quick, let's go around and let our listeners know where they can find each of us. So Carter, I'll start with you. Let our listeners know where they can find you on the Twitters and what you are up to these days.
Up to a lot of nothing, DW, but that's always good. Yes. You can find me on Twitter at Pollo Tropicarts. If you don't like Pollo Tropical, I feel sorry for you, so don't bother finding me on Twitter then.
Absolutely. Eric, how about you? Tell our listeners where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at @Eric_Robinson.
All right. Gina, I know our listeners know where to find you, but why don't you remind them anyways in case they have like a severe head injury?
Perfect. I'm always happy to help. Thomas, that's JEANNA Thomas, because my parents, I am definitely tweeting pictures.
Oh no.
Writing a bunch of stuff about free agency and the draft for SB Nation. Talking about players, Falcons won. That's kind of what I'm up to.
Gina is the ghost in the machine.
Gina's that's internet me. Connection has the hiccups.
It me. Does it still sound weird?
No.
I have my weirdly on my lap so that my dog didn't.
Oh no!
I was messing with my own audio.
I need to plug DW.
That was a very old person thing to do.
Oh, Gina, it's so bad. Anyway. It sounds like your internet has the hiccups.
I have eight.
sounded like you just said you had AIDS.
Oh, Gina. This is a train wreck.
I have AT&T fiber.
Oh, that's what she meant.
There's
a
big difference.
I thought she was saying something else. Oh, I thought she was.
Oh, dear.
We're going to blame Baxter for the internet hiccups because Baxter's a little asshole. So
he actually is digging at my hand and actually physically biting me right now.
That explains why the phone discipline. Is going right now. She's being bit by her dog. Okay.
Oh, mercy.
Anyway. Yeah,
we're talking about Baxter, but I've been corralling cats all night, it feels like. So.
True.
Oh, guys, as for me, you can find me on the Twitters at FalcoholicDW. Where these days you can find me talking more politics than Falcons, but as I can see by the number of you that I have chased off from following me, but God bless those of you who have stayed around in spite of that. So hopefully, you know, we're going to have a little bit more consistency with the podcast in the coming weeks, especially as we get into free agency, as we get to the draft. So pay attention to thefalcoholic.com for up-to-the-minute news on your favorite Falcons football team. So for Eric, Carter, and Gina, this is David Walker, and we thank you guys for tuning in to this week's podcast, and we will talk with you next time.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.